Good morning, David.
Thank you very much for allowing us to have a chat. And you might just like to tell us the history of the Belcher family arriving in Hawke's Bay and perhaps just a little bit before. I'll leave it to you.
Thank you very much, Jim, and thank you for coming to our home and prompting me on this issue. All very interesting, and I value the process in which the family history is going to be recorded and held in a good, reliable place. My father, Theobald Seymour, was the son of John Richard Belcher, Papanui Christchurch, and was born on Coots Island, Kaiapoi, on the 21st of March 1904, before moving to 121 Watford Street, Papanui. While the family owned Craigie Range Station to the east of Havelock North, he had his early education at Hastings Street School, Napier, and also the Havelock North Primary School for 1 year. The family sold Craigie Range to the Van Ash family just prior to World War I and returned to Papanui, Christchurch. From here, Seymour attended Elmwood School, where he obtained his proficiency certificate before entering Christ College in 1919. His Christ College number is 3149. On leaving college in 1922 with matriculation, he worked on his father's farms in Canterbury for 6 years. During this period, he drove and attended to a six-horse team at Holmby, working land for crops before the introduction of tractors. This lifestyle represented work from daylight till dark, often under very dusty conditions. He then managed one of his father's properties, gaining an extensive general and practical knowledge of sheep and agricultural farming and specialising in stock production. The Canterbury climate did not agree with Seymour, so he went back to Hawke's Bay, where he had joined the stock and station firm of Hoadley, Son and Stewart Limited as stock agent and stock clerk at Hastings for 2 years. During this time, he also had the pleasure of showing a number of intending purchasers the Murakaku Station subdivision blocks. On leaving Hastings, Seymour was appointed auctioneer and senior stock agent for the New Zealand Farmers Cooperative Association Limited at Kaikoura for 2 years. In addition to his normal duties, he was supervisor for Mount Fife Station, Green Hills Station, Fernlea, and the Elms for the New Zealand Farmers Cooperative Association Limited. He naturally became experienced in all farm and station work, including mustering, fencing, fat sheep drafting, and buying and selling of all livestock. He later returned to Hawke's Bay and purchased Hoemona and Peach Gully from Mr. John Barker in 1933. This 615-hectare property at Waimarama, southeast of Havelock North, represents good, strong, healthy country where Seymour strengthened all his knowledge and experiences. He was a keen supporter of the local dog trial club, participating in a number of events, and in latter years served as a timekeeper. Seymour became a strong advocate of Angus cattle and Romney sheep. In 1935, he supplied cattle to Borthwick's first chilled shipment of beef from New Zealand to London on the Port Ferry. Twice during his farming career, he won beef competitions, with the same beast winning the on-hoof judging, the on-hooks judging, and again rejudged on the on-hooks final judgment at Smithfield. He commenced the Tunui Angus Cattle Stud in 1944 and later became an Angus inspector and judge. He adjudicated at a number of A&P shows with both stud cattle and prime cattle for beef competitions. He became a strong advocate of beef competitions, particularly in the heavyweight class, where the art was to breed the correct type of beast to grow into what the consumer required. Seymour served as a senior advisory member for the Waimarama Young Farmers Club. and then was a delegate for the meat and wool section of Federated Farmers. He was elected Hawke's Bay member of the Electoral Committee of the New Zealand Meat and Wool Boards from 1956 to 1966. He also became a director of the Hawke's Bay Farmers Meat Company Limited in 1960, serving for 17 years. He was interested in all farming aspects and also in the mid-1960s supplied cattle for the first Whakatū owner's account carton shipment of frozen beef to the United States. Seymour farmed at Waimarama until 1986, when for health reasons forced him to Havelock North. He died at the Hastings Memorial Hospital on the 26th of May 1988, aged 84. Survived by only son David and daughter-in-law Marilyn.
You lived where when you came to Havelock? And you farmed Waimarama?
Yes. The Peach Gully block, which was separate to the main farm operation, we gave possession of that in March 2000, and Marilyn and I moved here to 22 Fulford Place, Havelock North, in March 2000. I continued farming Hoemona for another 3 years and finally gave sale of possession of that in late 2002.
Now, what sort of farming background did you have out there? Did you go to Lincoln College or...?
No, I was under strict command of my father, and on leaving school came home and worked there, head down, bottom up, every other day of the year. Yeah,
right.
And I got received a very good basic education. Really, looking back on all now and the various bits and pieces that my father taught me, I often repeat to other people today. Mm-hmm. All made common sense.
Well, common sense has gone out the window now these days, and unfortunately, with a number of people.
Yeah, right.
Big companies and what have you. And now, okay, now what about your education?
My education? I attended Waimarama Primary School in 1952 to 55. That was a very interesting school. We had 86 pupils on the roll, a mix of Māori, Pākehā and Chinese. Made a lot of lovely friends, and many of those are still about today. It's all very good when we meet at odd occasions. I then went on to Heriworth School from 1956 to 1959. That was a very good education also, and I treasure those years at Heriworth before going on to Christ College to follow family traditions from 1960 to 1963.
Right, and your father went there, didn't he?
Father went to Christ College, as did his two brothers, and our son Philip entered Christ College in 1989.
Did you have any favourite teachers in your day that you remember?
Oh, favourite teachers, yes. Well, I cannot go without saying that Heriworth, Sidney Grant and Lawrence Rickard, many, many teachers I remember there, and the basics that, being an only son, the basics that I was taught and learned at Heriworth, I think put me in quite a good position today.
What was the discipline like at Heriworth? I mean...
Oh, discipline, yes. Well, it was discipline. We soon learned not to talk after lights out, and there were minus marks and the detention and the cane if necessary. Yep.
The cane?
Yes, the cane.
Hear about it today and they don't believe it for long.
No. It was cold showers every morning, or if the pipes froze in the wintertime, it was cold baths.
Yeah.
No, it was a good, healthy lifestyle, and I don't think it, I think many old boys would be happy to admit today that it didn't really do them any harm. And the same at Christ College. What punishment was either, I think, lines, writing thousands of lines, or the cane.
What were your main topics that you succeeded in at school and college?
At school.
And your sporting prowess as well?
Oh, okay. Well, I was never a top sportsman because I, being an only child, I was not involved and did not play in any sporting activities at all until I attended Heriworth. Heriworth was cricket and in the autumn into hockey. Winter term was all rugby. The commencement of third term was hockey and the athletic sports, and then back to cricket. So that gave me a good grounding. Quite enjoyed cricket. I enjoyed hockey perhaps the most. And then on to Christ College. It was much the same. One was compelled to do cricket in the first year, and then because I was fairly tall, I was fortunate enough to get into rowing. I thoroughly enjoyed rowing, and in the winter time I played hockey. College, we also had the all the benefits of different activities in the gymnasium. There were house events, so one had the opportunities of learning. There was squash and there was fives, a good number of opportunities.
Did you take on boxing while you were at college? Oh,
I did not. I took on what was compulsory to do a certain amount of boxing at Heriworth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where I left it.
With Teddy Ormond?
With Ted Ormond, yes, uh-huh. With Teddy Ormond. Lead, Perry, lead!
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. A good story there about Ashton St. Hill Warren, the boxing, when he kept on, Ashton had a crooked arm.
Oh.
And he kept on saying, "Now hit me in the jaw, hit me in the jaw with the straight left." And Ashton got sick of that and came up with the right arm with a uppercut and just took him on the chin and dropped him to the floor. His gloves came off very quickly and he took off.
Yeah.
In a row. Anyway,
good stories.
Yeah. When you got into work, what was your first paid job?
My first paid job was farm wages from my father. Yeah.
At Wymarama?
At Wymarama. £3 a week. I still have all the farm wage books. I kept all my father's wage books and all my father's diaries. Because in his years at Wymarama, there was quite a community of Maori families, tremendous families that we treasure. And during the freezing work seasons, they all took off to town, worked in the freezing works. And then when the off season came, "Oh, Seymour, we got a job, we can do that draining for you, we spray those blackberries, we do this, we do that." Yes, that was quite a party of fellows, and they did a good job in helping Father break the block in at Wymarama. There was an awful lot of hard work there, and one thing I didn't include, just out of interest sake, in the years at Wymarama, I have on a chart 110 years of month-by-month rainfall total. The average at Peach Gully at Wymarama for all those years was 40 inches a year, or 1,000 millimetres in right. Today's language. Back in the hills on the Hauimona block, the average rainfall was 58 to 60 inches. And in those years in the 60s and 70s, the average rainfall on the top of the Mararotra Plateau, just above us, was 100 inches. Much of that rainfall on the Mararotra Plateau actually flowed down through our property, Hauimona. Mm-hmm. And coupled with the rainfall that Hauimona also received, actually presented Hauimona with quite considerable erosion problems. My dad, in 1949, commenced a soil erosion plan number 4 with the former Hawke's Bay Catchment Board, which records I still hold and treasure. We planted poplar and willow poles pretty much year in, year out. And all those years, even up to the year in which I finished farming, there was always somewhere that required a bit of soil erosion work to be carried out. And I became actually very interested in particularly the newer poplar clones. The newer poplar clones that they developed at Massey and Palmerston North, they were very interesting in their growth form, their leaf colouring, and their tolerances in a dry, hard face, or to the opposite, in a wet place. In actual fact, I have many photographic records of soil erosion and examples of tree plantings, and the poplar clones in the spring flush with the different reds and oranges almost presented a better overall panorama compared with autumn colour. And of course also very beneficial for livestock.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about those later on with your for what you do in the present.
My other interest that I developed at Heriworth and carried on with at Christ College and still do a lot with today is photography. I go crazy with the camera when I go out on a trip.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, great. Yes, you've had some great photos there of Tutera.
Right.
That's another one of your loves, I know.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that shortly.
Right.
Leisure. What did you do in your spare time? Did you have any?
No. spare time at Waimarama, no. It was often lawn mowing or cleaning up around the homestead. No, I did not have a great deal of spare time. A good friend Jim Newbegin conned me into joining the foundation, part of the Havelock North Squash Club. Played there for a little while and played a little bit of casual tennis, but that was as far as it ever got.
Did your parents have any disapprove of any of the activities that you did? Did you ever get offside with your parents?
Not exactly. Your father and I had a few conflicting, not essentially arguments, but just minor disputes over the ways that different things were done on the farm, which of course was was natural because farming was father's life, and apart from his in his latter years on the Hawke's Bay Farmers Meat Company board, he was always there on the farm and he had control of everything and virtually had full control of the checkbook until the day he died.
So then later in life you got married.
Yes.
And now how did you meet your...
My good wife Marilyn, I met, that was an interesting story. Back there in the latter part of the 60s, there was a little story going around on the television about how that little fella Henry used to go along to the bank and meet his girlfriend, and that's virtually how it all happened. My dear wife Marilyn, ex Christchurch and St Margaret's College, she joined the National Bank at Riccarton, and after a few years learning the trade there, she wanted to move to a more rural area of New Zealand. So she came up here to Hawke's Bay and was head teller in the National Bank Hastings. Seymour Belcher was, and his father, also in Christchurch, were all National Bank clients, and of course National Bank was where David went and did his various bits of banking of his wages. Then when he was paid, four weekly wages were paid.
And what sort of wage did you get, David?
£3 a week. When I started, and I used to go along, that was paid, so that was paid four weekly, and I used to take the cheque then along to the bank, and more often than not, served by, as she was then, Marilyn Mantell, who was head teller in the National Bank, and father, being ex-Christchurch, also used to aim for her, because she was probably one of the most reliable in the staff, and also coming from Christchurch, so the pair of them had a good chat about Christchurch. And so David continued going along there and banking his wages and drawing a bit of cash when he went to town on a Friday. One afternoon he was walking into the National Bank. It was one of those days, I think, must have been September, October somewhere, and all of a sudden the act of the gods fell out of the sky. It rained like billy-o, and this charming lass said to David as he went to walk out the door, "You'll get hellishingly wet if you walk out there, my friend." So David went back and continued the chat with Marilyn behind the counter. So that's how I met Marilyn.
And later, of course, you got married. Where did you get married?
Marilyn and I married in Christchurch in St. Barnabas Church, Pendleton, on the 30th of October 1971.
Now, Dave, also on top of this now, later on in life, from there you moved to Havelock North.
Yes.
And then you took up other interests.
Yes.
That you wanted.
Yes.
And I understand that you've done a great job at Tutera, the planting there, and you might tell us about your cycling. I saw you in your cycling gear the other day, so you've probably got the latest bike and bike to Taupo and Wellington and all around the place.
Oh dear.
So you might like to just give us a bit of a chat on that.
Yes, sure, certainly. Yes, after leaving the farm at Wanarama, affairs took some while to tidy up, but got over that hurdle. And struggled a wee bit for a while, but anyway, we're very fortunately based here at Havelock North. We have a large section here, and being in the back of the subdivision, neighbours are all out in front of us. We haven't got neighbours right beside us, and to the rear of the property we have the Karitawhenua Stream Reserve, where I do a lot of work, a very interesting project there. And then I acquired a job in an adjoining vineyard, Black Barn Vineyard, where I worked for nearly 4 years, gained a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience working in the vineyard and in the winery, all very enjoyable. Following that, I decided that working full-time there, I was not getting to join up with or continue with any of my other interests, because I was always in demand at the vineyard, even to going and turning water on various blocks of grapes in the evenings. I decided that no, I'm going to have to grab the bull by the horns and get on with my other interests. And then my other interests extended to really attending my strong interest in forest and bird, and I have been a member for the Hastings branch. Well, my dad made me a member, actually, when I was a child. And he paid my subscription, thankfully, until I commenced working on the farm. And he said to me, "Now that you're earning wages, you can pay your own subscription." I've paid my own subscription for each and every year, and this year will be my 50th year as a member of Royal Forest and Bird Protection Society. Mm-hmm. I now belong to the Napier branch of Forest and Bird, and we do a lot of work in Little Bush at Pukatetri, and we have monthly field trips, and there are various other activities. The Hastings branch, when I was a member there, I did a lot of work at Blowhard Bush, which is a spectacular reserve on the Hastings Taihepe Road. Well worth a visit. My other interests then grew to the Guthrie Smith Trust Arboretum at Tutera. I was first of all approached in 2007 and asked if I would do some of the photographic recording. All very interesting. Started there. On the photography side, the Arboretum really began in 2002, and there were a few photographic opportunities, but since then, the property being divided into international geographical regions of the world, example Australasian, Mexican, Mediterranean, Chinese, Japanese, Himalayan, and a very large New Zealand section. There are now something like 25,000 plantings. Plantings eventually all get labelled, and the label consists of the year in which that tree or group of trees were planted, and a number. For example, NA154, meaning North American tree number 154. Then there is the botanical name, and if David is lucky enough, the common name beneath. I take these photographs of various trees, shrubs, flowers, autumn colourings, spring blossoms, whatever, and each and every photograph I take, I have to record in a notebook what I have photographed according to the label. That information is all gathered and put on a disc, and I type out sheets, and it is then forwarded to the curator, and they then enter all that information into what is known as a GAMS system, so that in future if any visitor visits the Arboretum and asks about, for example, tree NA154, up should come all the photographs that have been taken of that tree and information about it. My work at Tutera then kind of grew past photography, and I was elected to the board later on, the Guthrie Smith board, and I was placed in charge of buildings and also the homestead gardens. I have done a lot of voluntary work up there, tree planting, tree releasing. It's also interesting and so ongoing. Other volunteer work I do, I once a month under Mike Lusk, if I'm available, we do a Saturday morning in Tomato Peak Park. We plant native trees and do a lot of tree release work and eradication of weeds. And another job I do voluntarily is, it's all through Forest and Bird, but it's with Doc at the Ahuriri Estuary. That's a morning a month, and same again, that's eradication of weeds mainly, and the main problem over there has been working with the eradication of seaweed lavender, which is a creepy little weed, and if left, it will actually smother many other plants that the migrating birds love. So, yeah, seaweed lavender is number one target, but we've also done in the winter months quite an amount of planting, particularly on the western banks of the old road rail embankment facing the expressway, and further over in the Ahuriri Lagoon Farm area, an area adjacent to the walking cycling track, which has been under the Living Legends program for the last 3-4 years.
You've certainly had you've got a great knowledge of the plants and everything, thinking that you haven't been to university to like Lincoln or Massey to learn all about that side of it.
That's right, Jim. I've struggled a bit with learning, but I in writing names down as I do at Tutera and recording photographs, I come home and there's the computer, of course, but I also have quite a collection of books that I prefer to read about a plant in a book and sort of think, and it's something that you can always go back to.
A lot of people don't know that, the amount of work that volunteers do.
No, I've actually been absolutely blown away since really leaving the farm, the amount of opportunities that are out there for volunteers. I mean, there are many other projects that I'd, conservation and environmental projects in Hawke's Bay here right at our door, I'd dearly love to be involved with, but I just have not got the time. I'm busier now than ever before. Yeah. For example, there's the Cape Sanctuary, there's Boundary Stream Reserve, and many others. The list just grows.
I know. I spoke to someone recently about this, and they said, I don't know what to do. So I gave them a list of organisations that he could do
yeah.
on a voluntary basis. Mm. Mm. He was quite pleased.
Yeah.
He didn't realise they even existed.
No, that's right.
And I feel sorry for a lot of people who retire and haven't got an interest.
Yeah.
And have just right. worked all their life.
Oh, yeah. No, no. That's,
so you've got to have something.
Yeah, definitely. And that was why my dad sat so long at Waimarama.
Yeah.
Because after he, when the Hawke's Bay Farmers Meat Company closed its doors, he had no other interest.
Yeah.
He always tried to tell me that he was going to Taupo to do some fishing. But no, yeah. There was always the farm, and that was it. Yeah.
David, I'll tell you something we've missed on a little bit, about your family.
Yes, I was wondering about that, Jim. Yes, Marilyn and I have three of a family. Our eldest daughter, Margaret, aged 41, and son, Philip, who is 39. Philip is 39, and Louise, 37. Margaret resides in Havelock North, and she works for Heinz Watty currently. She's worked there the last 13 years, and her position is dealing with the certification of export products. Our son, Philip, he has been largely a family man. He and his wife, Nia, who is Samoan, they have four sons, so we have four grandsons,
yes.
aged from 15 down to 8. Louise, our younger daughter, she is currently now based back in Nelson, working with Craig Potten Publishers as assistant editor.
David, that's a very interesting little talk you've given me, and given us a great insight into the background of the Belcher family and yourself. Anything else you want to?
Perhaps just add a little history in that grandfather, John Richard Belcher, he also was born in Kaiapoi. He was born in Kaiapoi in 1865 and educated locally. He was the son of Richard Belcher, Springfield Farm, Coots Island. And Grandfather Belcher, at one stage, he had three farms in Canterbury, and a lot of his history I'm trying to catch up with. I've been told by my first cousin in Christchurch, John Belcher, that he was in his working life, he was a surveyor, and in various jobs that he did with surveying around Canterbury, he came across various other blocks that Grandfather Belcher owned and farmed. Mm-hmm. So we're still trying to find out all this history, because it would, again, it would be most valuable to have it recorded. But nevertheless, I do know that Grandfather Belcher, yes, he had these three farms in Canterbury, Homeby, which is out toward Darfield, and another block, separate block, I know he had at Darfield, and also one on Rangitata Island. Grandfather Belcher was, yes, he was pretty tough sort of a man. He quite interesting in the years that he owned, I don't think he really farmed, Craigie Range, east of Havelock North. That was property of 3,500 odd acres, which included the land from the present Red Bridge, Tukituki Bridge, heading to Waimarama, down to Bound Coops, and then back to join the Maraetoto stream, and Small's property. Grandfather Belcher, I'm told, had a relation, I think his name was Frank, and they apparently the family, including my dad, always referred to him as Uncle Frank. But where he quite fitted in to the family, I've never been able to fully establish. I'm still working on that. But anyway, the Belcher family They owned Craggy Range from 1906 to 1911, and within that period they built not a homestead, but they built a cottage immediately as you cross the Red Bridge heading to Waimarama. The house still stands today, back well hidden in trees. Grandfather Belsh had decided, because his wife was Irish, she came out from Ireland at age 4 to Christchurch, and was the daughter of John Seymour Theobald, and they lived in Gloucester Street in Christchurch. But anyway, Grandfather Belcher wanted to take his wife back to Ireland for a trip, and decided that he could not really trust anybody to run the farm, Craggy Range, so that's when he sold it to the Van Ash family in 1911, and had intentions of returning to Christchurch to tidy family affairs before making arrangements to go over to Ireland. Then, of course, with the onset of World War I, well, that put the kibosh on that. They didn't go for their trip. Grandfather Belcher, I just remember, and the first flight in an aeroplane I ever had, well, I remember when I was a young lad at Waimarama School, Father and I flew down for my Grandfather Belcher's 90th birthday. I distinctly today remember walking into the lounge at the home at 121 Watford Street, Papanui. There was Grandfather Belcher sitting up in his great big armchair. Father and I walked through the door. "Seymour," he says, "take young David out to such and such a block of potatoes at Coots Island. If the land does not fall 2 feet behind you, you have not done your job correctly." Mm. I distinctly remember those words, and I distinctly remember that visit. And Grandfather Belcher, he died the following year, age 91, just not long after I commenced heroism.
You've got a great knowledge of history. Now, what are you doing, your family tree, or are you looking at family records?
I'm only looking at records, Jim, that I've collected, and I've tried to, in Christchurch I still have 3 remaining first cousins. They are the family of my father's brother, Nelson Belcher, who also attended Christ College, and the bulk of his working years in Christchurch were with a good old Christchurch firm that was then John Burdens and Co Limited. Nelson Belcher, yes, he had wife Leslie, who was a Hargraves. They had 3 of a family. That was another Margaret Belcher. Margaret Belcher is a great long-time life associated with Canterbury University, and is currently writing the life history and works of an old architect, English architect, Pugin. And she resides in Christchurch, and her elder sister, Pam, who married a farmer, Pat Steele, and they farmed many years in North Canterbury, and Pam now resides in a home in Christchurch. And our other first cousin is John Belcher. So between us, we're still trying to correlate early family history.
You look to me as if you've got some pretty interesting papers down there, and I'm just wondering, have you ever thought about having them digitized?
I wouldn't know how, Jim.
Well, I'd like you to come to the Knowledge Bank and just have a look one day and see what it is. Because if you have a fire, you've lost all that.
True.
So, you know, that's history.
I do keep it away in a locked steel case, but even so, yeah. Okay. Yeah.